Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We're looking at the Beloved Mothers of the Bible Award Ceremony. Okay? Beloved Mothers of the Bible Award Ceremony. Exodus 2. And we'll look at verses 1 through 3. Amen. And well, Brother Spencer, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, we thank you once again for another day and an opportunity to serve you, Lord. We take so much for granted, Lord. Today is Mother's Day, and yes. We know many times we take our mothers for granted.
Yes.
Love, time, patience,
amen.
And long suffering, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you please speak to us through your word this evening, and I just ask that you help us to be humble and ready to learn. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 Exodus 2, verses 1 through 3. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So don't panic. I already talked to Titus about this, Brother Titus. He preached, part of his message was on Moses' mother here. So I'm not going to make it long on this point, okay? I know some of you have already heard a message, and that was a great one. So anyway, tonight we'd like to give Jochebed, Moses' mother, the Ingenuity Award, okay? If you hold your place here, notice with me in Numbers 26. Numbers 26. We were going to a doctor for, I forget what it was for, but that particular doctor most generally asked me, where are you reading or who are you reading about? And so he asked me that one time when we were to him to an appointment. And I said, well, I was reading about Jochebed. And he says, who? Jochebed, Moses' mother. Oh, we don't often think about her name, but Numbers 26:59. She's not named in the passage normally we're just reading about her, but Numbers 26:59. The Bible says, and the name of Amram's wife was what?
Jochebed,
the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. It also names her in one other passage. But so why do we give her the Ingenuity Award? Well, Brother Titus had a great message on that today. And very simply, let me define ingenuity, first of all. From Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, ingenuity is defined as skill or cleverness in devising or combining, inventiveness, cleverness, or aptness of design. And so we've talked about that. It was commanded that they threw all their baby boys in the river, and, well, she complied with that, but she was very ingenious and put him in the ark, a waterproof little boat. And so we give that mother, that biblical mother, the Ingenuity Award. Number two, we'll move on to a different one. Isaac's mother. What was her name? Sarah, somebody said it. Okay. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We'll give Sarah, Isaac's mother, number two, the Faith Award. The Faith Award. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Through what? Faith. Also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So it says when she was past age. Well, how old was she? Well, let's look in Genesis 17. So, by faith, when she was past age, she was willing to bear Abraham, the promised son. So Genesis 17, and let's read 15 through 17. So Genesis 17, 15 through 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and what? Laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is what?
90 years old,
bear? Now, what do you think you ladies would do to your husbands if when you were 90, he agreed with God that you should have a baby? Would you kill him? Or would you say, oh, that's great, honey. At 90, he's 100 and you're 90. Well, no, she didn't kill him. Hebrews 11 says that verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. So at 90 years old, that was faith. And so we give Sarah, Isaac's mother, the faith award. Number three, Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, we will give her the God first award, the God first. Notice in Luke 1, you know, sometimes we don't think through things in the Bible and really empathize with the people and what they were facing. And I think sometimes that's why we so easily get discouraged, is because we just really don't put ourselves in their place because we know the end of the story. So we're not concerned. We always know the end of the story of the biblical stories because we've read them so many times. And so we really don't put ourselves in that place. And so we don't glean the help that we need from their lives often. But let's look at Luke 1, and let's read 26 and 27. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. To a virgin what?
A spouse.
So that word would, normally we use the word now, engaged or betrothed. To a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of Mary, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we find a young lady here who's engaged to be married. No doubt she's probably excited about that. But now as we read on, this angel is giving her the opportunity for something. And let's look at what it is. Let's read 28 through 33. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, angels often appeared like just a regular man. And so when this angel comes up to Mary and tells her how highly favored she is, and she doesn't know him from Adam, it's like, what do you want? You're throwing all these flatteries, flowery things, wonderful things about me, and I don't even know who you are. So she's questioning it. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. You may say, well, that's wonderful news. Is it? You're a young lady and you're engaged. And this total stranger is saying, guess what? You're going to have a baby. And she's thinking, what do you mean? I'm engaged to a man and we are pure. And what are you saying? I'm going to have this baby. This is going to be the king. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? There's just one problem with all this good news. Where does my husband-to-be fit in with all this? For some reason, he's being left out of the picture. No doubt Mary is thinking, if I agree to this, I'm engaged to a young man, and this is not going to go well. It's not going to end well. Well, she was right in what she was thinking in the sense, let's look at Matthew 1. Hold your place here, but Matthew 1. She was thinking this through. Listen, there's a slight problem here. I'm engaged. I'm betrothed. I'm a spouse to a young man. And it's like, don't you understand? I can't just have a baby and leave him out of the picture. He won't marry me then. Well, her concern is valid. Matthew 1:18, we'll also read 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, notice in the Bible, an engagement, a betrothal, an espousal in the Bible, that's when they were called husband and wife, even before the marriage. And that's why I say that is the only biblical time when a young couple should be falling in love is when there's that commitment made. Because the Bible then refers to them a husband and wife. But verse 19, then Joseph, her what? Her husband, they're just engaged. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to what? Put her away privately. That phrase, put away, in the scripture, in the context of marriage, means divorce. Joseph was thinking of divorcing her. You may say, well, what do you mean divorce? They were only engaged. That's the point. The engagement was binding, unless for unfaithfulness. And so, obviously, it appeared like she had been unfaithful to him. And so he was minded to put her away privately. He could have done this thing publicly, which would have meant Mary would have been stoned for being immoral. He didn't want that. He loved her. He didn't want that. So he was just going to put her away privately. Just, we're going to fix this with a divorce privately. The public doesn't have to know. So what happens? Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, what?
Thy wife.
See, he has called her husband. She is called his wife. And they're just engaged. For that which is conceived in her is of who? The Holy Ghost. So Joseph is just thinking what any normal person would think. My wife-to-be has been unfaithful to me. The angel appears to him, tells him, listen, this child is of the Holy Ghost. She has not been unfaithful. This child has been conceived by God. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by who? The prophet, saying. So now the angel's telling him, Joseph, What has happened here is fulfilling a prophecy. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. If you'd hold your place here and turn to me to Isaiah 7. The prophecy referring to here is Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. So Joseph here is wondering what to do. The angel tells him, Joseph, this is fulfilling a prophecy. And so what does Joseph do? He's been given the scripture, why this has happened. Well, back in Matthew 1, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So he's thinking of this prophecy. Okay, this prophecy said a virgin is going to be with child, and this one is going to be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph's thinking, okay, what seems so crazy now makes sense. It's got to be a virgin because you can't bring forth God with us, any normal union between a husband and wife. This has got to be a conception wrought by God because this is God with us. And so he obeys. And I'll just stop and think. This is Mother's Day and we're talking about the mother, but this, you think about Mary, this was truly a God-first decision. Sometimes young people get engaged or are talking about getting engaged, and the emotions run so strong. And I mean, what would it take for them to cancel the espousal, to cancel the engagement, to cancel the betrothal? Well, at that point, you are dealing with two hearts that are ready to be husband and wife. And for Mary, knowing full well if she said yes to God, could very well mean Joseph saying no to her. It's off. Forget the marriage. Do you realize what faith that took on Mary's part? I mean, truly a heart that was God first. How do our hearts normally run? Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 7, and of course, this is dealing with a couple that are husband and wife. The marriage has been finalized. But 1 Corinthians 7, let's start in verse 29. 1 Corinthians 7 and 29. And we'll read through 33. Verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. You see, it's all those things that are emotional. I mean, the weeping. Verse 29, having wives as though they didn't. Verse 30, it's the weeping or rejoicing. It's the things you have. It's the things that you count on. Your emotions are in it. You consider these things your own. Verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong, what? To the Lord. How he may, what? Please the Lord. That's to the single person. Verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may, what? Please his wife. We'll stop there for a moment. So, it's, and as we read on here, it's not, he said he wasn't trying to make a distraction. We are to love our mates as ourselves. But the point is, he was making here is that when you are married, that is a great commitment, and it is a tough balancing act to make sure that we truly are loving our spouse as ourselves, and yet that we're not putting our husbands or wives ahead of God. So Mary truly deserves the God first award. That was a tremendously important and hard decision to make, but she made the right decision. And for it, she didn't lose Joseph. Isn't that the way, though, many times in life, that it seems like if we obey God, we're going to be the loser? Oftentimes it seems that way. If we obey God at work, it seems like, it may cost me my job, or it may cost me my promotion. So many times it seems that way, and that's where we need to get into these stories, personally put ourselves, Daniel, the three Hebrew children, the young people at the memorial service are going to sing Walking Through the Flames. Those three young men, it seemed like they were going to lose their lives if they didn't obey the king and bow down. And so it seemed like they were going to be the losers. Were they? No. They actually got promotions through it. Daniel and prayer, outlawed. It seemed like he was going to be the loser if he prayed, especially before his window, like he always did. It seemed like he was going to get thrown in the lion's den, and the lions were going to have him for lunch. It seemed like he was going to be the loser. And he was thrown in the lion's den. But was he the loser? No, he wasn't the loser. It was to his promotion, his blessing, and the people who were plotting against him. They were thrown in the lion's den, and all their families. And the lions did have them for lunch. The Bible says that they break all their bones before they hit the bottom. Can you imagine just listening to that? Oh, the screams and the crunching. Wow, that would, what a horrible, horrible scene. So it seemed like Mary was going to be the loser if she said yes to God. But that's a good lesson for us, isn't it? And so often it will seem. But God, if I actually obey your word and do this, I'm going to be the loser. I'm going to suffer. But I'm not saying that God will always send his angel and shut the lion's mouth. I'm not saying that God will always keep us from being burnt in the flames. But either way, like the three Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like they said, you know, if so, our God is able. We know God is able. But even if he chooses not to deliver us, we're not going to bow down to your image. So Mary truly deserves the God first award. We'll look at just one other. There's many we could look at, but just one other. Obed's mother. Obed. Who was his mother? Well, let's look in Matthew chapter 1. Obed's mom. I was in the hardware store, I think that was yesterday, and there's a young man in there named Jonah. And I said, well, that's a good biblical name. Not that Jonah always had the right attitude, but God sure used him in a mighty way. But Matthew 1, verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz, and that would be the Old Testament Boaz. These the different spellings of names are not mistakes in the Scripture. It's the difference between the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek, like Michael in Spanish would be what? Miguel? What is John in Spanish? Juan. Okay, so it's not mistakes in spelling going back and forth. It's just the different languages and how they spell and say the name. So here it's called Boaz instead of Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat who? Obed. Of who? Ruth. Okay, and then Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So we're looking at number 4. So Obed's mother. So Obed's mother is who? Ruth. So we're giving to Ruth the servant award. The servant award. And let's look in Ruth chapter 1. And of course, at the moment that we're looking at her, she's not a mother yet, but she's going to be a mother. So we're giving her this award. Ruth, Obed's mother, the servant award. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, and it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, what? Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. So she's saying, listen, there's no future if you go with me. I'm too old to have a husband, to have children. Even if I did, would you wait that long for them? And verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law But Ruth clave unto her. So Orpah is kissing her mother-in-law goodbye. Okay, I don't see any future. I'm not really interested in remaining a widow all of my life. So, okay, you convinced me. Goodbye. This is my goodbye kiss. Orpah goes back home. But Ruth clave to her. Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto what? Her gods. Orpah's going back. All there is back there is idolatry. She's headed back. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and here it comes, and what? Thy God, what? My God. You see, Ruth is dealing with here, as we'll see when she comes into town. Naomi is she's a bitter woman at the moment. Her husband has died. Then her two boys take wives in the land of Moab. Both of her boys die. She's not too happy at this point. But isn't it amazing that Ruth sees that mother-in-law has the true and the living God, even though she's bitter, she's hurting. Mother-in-law still has the true and the living God. Verse 17, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So what was she giving her life for? For caring for her mother-in-law. So we're giving her the servant award. And as I said, she's really not a mother yet, but she will be. But look at verse 20. And she said, well, actually verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me what? Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So the story goes on, but when the children of Israel went out of Egypt, the waters that were bitter, they called Mara. So she was saying, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter. But it didn't dissuade Ruth from being with her. She was ready to be a servant to her. And we don't have the time, but as you read through the book of Ruth, that's exactly, she went out to glean in the fields. Gleaning means you pick up what's left. Can you imagine gleaning grain? Imagine gleaning wheat just from the little kernels that are left on the ground. That would be tedious work. That would be hard work. But that's what she did. She had given herself to be a servant to her mother-in-law to care for her. So what happens? Chapter 3 in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek what? Rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. You see, Naomi appreciated all the hard work Ruth was doing on her behalf. Verse 2, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And so Naomi tells Ruth what to do. Boaz is in the place of a kinsman redeemer. Now, in the Old Testament, if a young man married a young lady and he died, the young lady was not to marry someone out. The young lady was to marry his brother, his next unmarried brother. And the first child that they had together was to be raised in the name of the deceased brother. And so Naomi is saying, Ruth, Boaz has not married. He can be the kinsman redeemer. Now, obviously, as you read the story, there's one kinsman closer, and of course, when he hears about her land for sale, I'll take it. But then he hears about, well, if you buy the land, you've got to raise up seed through Ruth for the dead. Oh, no, he said, I don't want to mar my inheritance. So it went to Boaz, and he marries her, and they have a child. And if you look in chapter 4, verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And then, as we read, the name is Obed of the child. And so we give to Ruth, Obed's mother, we give the servant award. We could go on with others in the scripture of blessed mothers in the scripture. We don't have time, but another one would be Eunice. You may say, Eunice. I know I've read that, but who was she? Well, she was Timothy's mother in 2 Timothy 1. And Paul commends Timothy and is convinced that he has the faith of his mother, Eunice, and of his grandmother. So today, it's kind of the summarizing of today's messages. Just we're thinking about mothers, just how blessed we are. A mother is one who's willing to sacrifice much. Many months, and you add up the months, and many times it's many years of her life is having a child in the womb and then raising those children for the glory of God. So we thank you, mothers, for all of your sacrifice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each of the mothers here and just the many months, many years of burying the child, having a child in the womb, and then training the child, caring for the child. And so, Lord, we honor these mothers. And, Lord, we honor you tonight for giving us such loving mothers. And, Lord, we honor you for giving your only begotten Son to be born on this earth, to live a perfect, sinless life, and then to die, to sacrifice himself for us, for our sin, that we might be saved, that we might be able to be with you for eternity, that we might be your sons and daughters. I pray, Father, if there should be any here tonight who has never yet received you, may tonight they come to you accepting your sacrifice on their behalf. Lord, have your way. Help us, Lord, to be more appreciative of our mothers. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.